Is it not great to be back in the Lord's house this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements I'd like to bring special attention to. One's not in the bulletin, but today is Memorial Day, and or Memorial Weekend, and Monday is Memorial Day. And I'd just like for all of you to stop and really think about what Memorial Day is. You know, we typically recognize people who have served in the armed forces and that kind of thing, but it's not really their day. It's the day for the people who didn't come back that we remember. Okay? So keep that in mind on Monday, you know, and just think about it. Okay? There are a couple other announcements I do want to bring out. That Wednesday night Bible study will be this Wednesday, and we're going to be in 2 Peter. Study sheets are available downstairs as you come in the back entry, and I don't know, is there any out front here? Okay, I didn't think so. They're just downstairs on the table downstairs. Then also no choir rehearsal this next week until further notice. And let me see who's got birthdays coming up. Betty Wood had a birthday yesterday. Mitzi Robinson and Kathy Matheson have birthdays coming up this next week. And one other thing is Nancy Watkins, as you know, Jim passed away this couple nights ago. And Nancy has asked that a memorial service be held here at the church next Saturday at 2 o'clock. And we are going to do that. Okay? So put that on your calendar. Okay? Are there any other announcements? If not, would you turn to your bulletin and let's do the unison reading that's printed on the inside of the front cover together. And it reads,
singing the choral call to worship that's printed on an insert in your bulletin. Please stand and let's sing this together. We'll sing it twice. The Family of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just rejoicing in the fact that we are a part of your family, and we rejoice in that fact. We ask, Lord, that you be with each and every family that's here, and those that are not here, Lord, we know that there's many that feel uncomfortable coming and being here in person, but we know they're listening to the sermons later on this afternoon once they go online. We especially ask, Lord, that you remember those who have fought and died for this country and for the right for us to stand here in front of you and acknowledge that freely and openly worship you. Lord, we just ask that you bless those families that are left behind. We ask also, Lord, that you be with us as a church. Help us, Lord, to just be open and honest and forgiving of those around us and loving of those around us, that even though sometimes it's very difficult, we ask, Lord, that you bless us, guide us, and direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
And our opening hymn this morning is number 18 in your hymnal, 18. A familiar old hymn to a lot of us, all people that on earth do dwell. And we'll do it just a little bit differently from the way it's printed here. So watch me on this. We'll extend some of these notes, okay? So, all people that on earth do dwell.
Oh,
be seated. If you would take your bulletin and let's do the unison reading or the shorter catechism, question number 43 and 44 this morning. I'll read the question and you do the answer that's printed in bold. Question 43. What is a preface to the Ten Commandments?
The preface to the Ten Commandments is in these words: I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
What doth the preface to the Ten Commandments teach us?
The preface to the Ten Commandments teaches us that because God is the Lord and our God, therefore, we are bound to keep all of his commandments.
Now turn to your hymnal to number 162. Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
I'd like to read from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it reads, God, or give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with these tithes and offerings and ask that you bless them, bless the givers, Lord, and bless the gifts. Help us as a church to use them wisely, Lord, and to in the furtherance of your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I know that we have an opportunity as we meet together to lift up the needs not only of our congregation but also of our nation. And even as our president has said, this is not a time for us to go without prayer. This is a time for us to pray as God's people. And so that's what we want to do. We want to pray for those special needs here in our congregation. I know it's been a very difficult time for all of us in seeing the passing of Jim Watkins. He's just a wonderful man, and that's very hard for us as a congregation. It's also difficult for us to see those who are suffering as a result of that, and we want to pray for Nancy and also her sons. And I do want to pray this morning for other congregations that are meeting around this city and around our country, and just pray that the Lord would give them a great joy as they meet together in the name of Jesus. So let's come before the Lord now and bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we say, as the psalmist said, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you and praise you that you've called us together to this place. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be here to touch each one of us and to lead us into a deeper walk with you. And Father, for those who cannot be here, for those who are listening today over the internet, we pray that your Holy Spirit might go out across these miles and touch their hearts and help them and encourage them during this time. We thank you for your love and for your mercy. And Father, we pray this morning for the family of Jim Watkins, and we ask, Lord, that you would help them through this time of grief, that you would surround them with your loving care and with your mercy. And Father, for those other families in our community and around this state and around the country that have lost loved ones, we pray, Father, that your mercy would be very great, that you would draw them to yourself and encourage them and help them through this time of suffering. Our Father, we do pray for those needs and requests that have been made, that are listed here in our bulletin, and we pray for the missionaries of this week, for Roger and Diane Smalling with the Stearns Mission Fund. We ask, Lord, that you would help them and encourage them during this time. And Lord, also for the persecuted church in Belarus. And Father, we pray that you would give them a witness and a testimony of the love of our Savior Jesus during this time. Father, I also pray for the persecuted church in Nigeria. Lord, a nation that has typically been Christian, and yet the Christians are being tremendously persecuted right now, even in this hour. And so, Lord, we ask and pray that you would surround them with your mercy, with your loving care, draw them close to you. Our Father, we also pray for Covenant Theological Seminary as they strive to train men to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. We ask that you would give them great blessing during this time. Our Father, again, we pray for our nation. We pray for the churches that are opening today, or those that have already been meeting. We ask, Lord, that even though numbers may be down, that the Spirit is great. And we pray for hope during this time, that even throughout this summer, that the churches will recover and rebuild. And we thank you again for the mission that you've given us to proclaim your gospel. And we pray that we would be faithful, that we would be reaching out and touching those around us. Lord, certainly the need is great. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we ask you, Lord, to help us and encourage us as we seek to do your bidding here. I thank you for each person here today and ask for a blessing on each one. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And our hymn of preparation this evening. this morning is number 165. 165. Please stand and we'll sing this together. Jesus, draw me ever nearer.
Such a beautiful hymn. Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And I'm reading verses 31 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Hear now the word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long, and we're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, this is a day, or tomorrow is, this weekend, is a time when we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, for those whose lives ended during the war, and we remember that sacrifice and we honor these individuals. We're grateful for everyone who has served in the military to preserve and protect our freedoms, but for those who gave their lives, they hold a special place in our hearts. And it puts us in memory or thoughts of those times when maybe we came close to death ourselves. That's always a very prominent feeling. And I wonder if you think back on your lives, if you can remember certain times when you came close to death. I can probably remember three times in my life when I came close to death, when I actually thought that this was the time when I would be taken from this earth. One time was on a trip, and I was traveling from the south and making my way back to Colorado Springs, where I was living at that time. And I was driving and went through New Mexico. And as I was passing through New Mexico, I saw that there was a blizzard that was coming down from the north with some very severe temperatures. And it was a real concern. But as I looked at it, I foolishly thought, somehow I'm going to be able to beat that. I'll run ahead of that storm, and I'll be able to get up to Colorado Springs. And so, at about 11:30 at night, driving from Clayton, New Mexico, toward Colorado Springs, I was on a lonely road, and all of a sudden the blizzard hit, and it hit with a fury, with high winds, and with snow, whiteout conditions. And I got halfway between Clayton, New Mexico, and the next town, which was Raton, New Mexico. Halfway between, it was 35 miles in one direction, 35 miles in the other. And the vehicle that I was driving, which was a diesel, froze up on me. And I mean, it completely froze solid. There wasn't any going anywhere. And I looked out on the roads, and this was about midnight, and there was no one on the roads in the middle of a blizzard. The wind chill at that time was minus 40. And so I knew I couldn't stay outside the vehicle for very long, and staying inside, things were cooling off very rapidly. And so I thought, well, this is it. There's no way that I can get out of this one. And you know, I passed through those different sections of thought that I'm told you go through in those kinds of situations. And the first one was disgust. I was so disgusted that I had made that decision. I thought that I was more intelligent than that, than to get out and put myself into these circumstances. And with the disgust, there came anger. And I was mad at myself and mad at my circumstances. This is the way in all my life that I'm going to die, out here on a lonely road like this in the middle of the night. And then there was sorrow, because I knew that my life would end and I wouldn't have an opportunity to see my children anymore. And it just was a hard thing for me to deal with. And then I happened to look in the rearview mirror and I saw a set of headlights coming. And I thought, this is it. The Lord is going to spare me from this. And I got out of my vehicle and I started waving my arms and waving my hands. And the car never even slowed down. It went right on by me. And I thought, well, what are the chances of two vehicles being on this road at this hour? And my heart just sank. I got back in the vehicle and just waited. Well, after about another 10 minutes, and I was entering into hypothermia at that point, I was shaking. I saw another set of headlights. And I thought, well, this is either it. Either they stop and help me or I'm a goner. So I literally got out in the middle of the road and I would not let that vehicle pass. And they finally stopped and they took me back into Clayton, and that's where I was able to survive. But I can remember going through that, all the different thoughts and the regrets and the anger at myself for allowing this to take place. You know, I think that probably King David went through a very similar thing in his life. We've been going through the 23rd Psalm, looking at it kind of section by section. And this is the section where David speaks about passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This was David talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I have to believe that at some point in his life, David had experienced situations and circumstances where he thought that there was a very real possibility that he would not make it, that he was going to die. Because he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. You know, this valley of the shadow of death, this is something that's very specific in Hebrew literature. There's a literal definition to it. The word that's used for the valley, this valley of the shadow of death, is Sal Maveth in Hebrew. And it means a very deep darkness. It means a dark shadow that passes over. And it refers to more than just the act of death, the dying in death. It also referred to the fear of death, the hopelessness of life that it represents, and also the deep depression. You know, I've been watching as states report on the COVID-19 and the fear and the panic that this has generated in our culture, in our society, and how many people are deeply concerned, and there is a reason to be concerned. But sometimes it goes beyond just the concern for death. It goes into something very deep in our hearts and in our souls, you know, where we cry out, no, I don't want to get this. I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. I don't want this to happen. And with that, there's a depression that comes. And so many in America today are suffering from this depression. They're looking at the consequences of COVID-19, and it's not just the death. But it's also this great depression that's come across people. The numbers of suicides have increased dramatically because people have lost hope. They're hopeless in this. Well, David uses a shepherd's imagery when he deals with this issue. You know, we mentioned last week that many times the best grazing for the sheep was up on high mountain passes. The pastures that were lower were pretty much grazed out. There wasn't much grass left there, and sheep could starve to death in those kinds of pastures. But David talks about other pastures. Jesus himself mentioned that when he talked about the broad gate and the narrow gate. The narrow gate referred to those mountain passes where a shepherd would have to take his sheep one at a time because the path was so narrow. And it was always precarious, and it was very scary, not just for the sheep, but also for the shepherd during that time. But the best grazing often was on the sides of the mountains that would get the best sun, and they'd have to take these paths to get into them. And in order to get them, the flock had to go through valleys that were often very dangerous. It was in the valleys that the wild animals would wait to attack the sheep. It was in the valleys that there would be pastures that were not fit for eating. And so it became very, very dangerous for the sheep and for the shepherd to go through those portions. I mean, we read about David and how he said that as a shepherd, that he was able to defeat the lion and the bear, where he took these animals on with his staff and defeated them, saved his sheep. And so, without a doubt, there were times when David himself as the shepherd, was put in mortal danger. And he could say with complete confidence, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's the very real possibility as I go there that I will lose my life. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid, because you're with me, because thou art with me. Sometimes we can be so fearful, so full of fear, that we just don't believe that we're going to make it. We're not going to be able to survive. Now, you know, I honestly believe with all my heart that the Lord knows exactly the moment, the instant, when he's going to take us to be with him. And we can trust him. The Lord says, the death of my little ones is precious in my sight. The Lord knows exactly when he's going to call us to be with him. And nothing, no one, can hasten that moment. Nobody can speed it up. We can't slow it down. We can't speed it up. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. And Peter was talking about the fact here that things come into our lives that are unanticipated. We don't know that it's going to happen, but suddenly it's upon us. And yet even in those moments, the Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be there with you. I'll even be there with you in those final moments to gather you up and take you to be by my side. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid because you're with me. Now, we live in a fallen world. We know that. We know that there are things around us that we can't explain. There are accidents that happen. There are evil people that would seek to end our lives. We know that all these things are possible for us. And yet, as believers, we also know that we have a gracious God who watches over us and who protects us. Some of you may remember some imagery that's given to us in Pilgrim's Progress. And in Pilgrim's Progress, we see Christian, the pilgrim, who's walking toward the celestial city, and he comes up to a castle. And he needs to go into the castle, but sitting out in front of the castle, there are two great big lions. And as he walks closer to them, the lions begin to roar and they begin to growl. And he's terrified. And yet he receives the word, go through the center, move to the castle. And as he's walking through, the two lions jump out and reach out. And as they do, they fall just short because both of the lions are fastened with chains. And their reach will only go so far. And he's able to walk right through the middle of the snarling lions to the door, and he is safe. The imagery is that as we live this life, we have a roaring lion who's seeking to devour. And yet, he's a lion on a leash. A lion on a chain, and he can't touch us because we belong to our Heavenly Father. And you see, that's exactly what Paul was saying right here. He's saying, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes through this whole litany of all the different things that could take place. He talks about the fact that who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, and we might add to that list, or COVID-19? Will that ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? No, it won't. And if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, we believe that God is sovereign. We believe that his sovereignty extends over every area of our lives. And that doesn't give us the right to throw caution to the wind. We still have to protect ourselves. We still have to do what's understandable to make sure that we're safe. That's part of our responsibility in this life. But at the same time, nothing can touch us apart from our Heavenly Father. He watches over us. He watches over His people. The psalmist says, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over Israel. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And it's not because David is so strong and because he's so good at battle and battle. That has nothing to do with it. I'll fear no evil because you, Lord, are with me. You watch over me. So, you know, if we try to put this into context, I mean, we've spoken about COVID-19, but what else is he speaking about? And again, remember, it's not just death, it's the fear of death. So what are we afraid of? What do we fear? Well, we fear those things that we encounter in life, those circumstances and situations that we fear. I would just ask this, what is it that keeps you awake at night? What are those things that you worry about? What are those issues that you're afraid would end up taking you? I mean, it could be financial. You could be worried that you're going to outlive whatever resources you may have and then be placed in some home or whatever for indigence. You might be worried about those things and concerned about those things. What is it that you worry about and lay in bed at night worrying, thinking about? It might be family issues. It could be personal health concerns. You know, there's probably nothing that scares us more than a doctor telling us that we have cancer. Because in our minds, somehow, that's the death sentence. If we have cancer, that means we only have a certain time to live. And that's not true. It's not true. We trust in a Lord who is almighty, in a God who is all-powerful. We trust in a Lord and a God who has raised the dead. And if Jesus is able to raise Lazarus from the grave after 4 days, what's cancer to him? We have testimonies of many people that were given a diagnosis of cancer. Some have even been given so many days to live. And the Lord has healed them completely. They're cancer-free. That's not what we have to worry about. There's no need to fear these things. You know, I was reading the other day about the fact that 95% of what we fear never happens. 95%. Now, I don't know who gathered that information and who came up with that number, but that is what I read, that 95% of what we fear never comes to place, never comes to task. And the 5% that does rarely ever happen as bad as we think they're going to happen. So when David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. You're with me. The Lion of Judah walks by our side. And that kind of gives us a change in perspective. You know, through the whole psalm, Psalm 23, he talks about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me walk. He. And then all of a sudden, it changes from he to you or to thou. Thou art with me. You are with me. And this is him claiming the relationship with the Heavenly Father. For David, it's become very personal. You know, we have many people today that talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's come to a point where I think a lot of people just dismiss that, the personal nature of our relationship. He is Lord. Yeah, but he's my Lord. And we tend to forget that. But it's the truth. If we've made a commitment to him, if we've surrendered our lives into the hands of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's a very personal matter, a very personal thing. And David's expressing that here. Because you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Paul says it this way. He says, well, if God is for us, and who can be against us? You know, the phrase, the word Emmanuel that we hear a lot at Christmas time, don't hear it that much the other times of the year, but Emmanuel means God with us. And the Israelites, when they would go into battle, would encourage one another by saying, Emmanuel, God is with us. And even though they went against armies that were much larger than their armies, they knew that God was with them. God was on their side. And you know, we face some pretty horrendous enemies in our lives from time to time. I think as a nation, we're facing some very difficult times and enemies. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm not talking about people. Because the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So the enemies that we're battling are not people. They're not flesh and blood. It's what's behind them. It's the spirits that are behind them, motivating them and desiring to see not only our nation, but this world turned upside down for evil. And at some point, we as Christians, as believers, are going to have to stand up and stand firm against the evil around us. I mentioned in my prayer today, Nigeria, and some of the horrendous things that are happening in Nigeria to Christians, where groups are actually entering in to churches while they are worshiping, pulling people out and massacring them in the streets. And this isn't happening every now and then. It's happening on a regular basis. And we've always prided ourselves in thinking that could never happen here in the United States. And yet over the last 2 to 3 months, we've seen things happen that we never thought would happen here in the United States. Times when we as believers have been told that we are not allowed to worship as God's people. First time ever. And there are times when we have to stand up for what we believe and stand up to those who would try to shut us down. And that's a fearful thing. Nobody wants it. We want things just to go on. We want there to be peace. But sometimes we have to make ourselves known and what we believe, and that our faith in God is more important than the rules and the regulations of our government. David said, "For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Paul said, "If God's for us, who can stand against us?" Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." He also says, in fact, nothing shall ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And so we put our faith and our trust in Him. Is there danger out there? Yeah, there is danger out there. Is there the possibility that something could happen that we've not anticipated? Sure, every day. Has any of that ever changed? When the H1N1 flu was causing thousands upon thousands of deaths in the United States, wasn't there the possibility then that something could happen? Sure there was. Sometimes I think, though, that the cure that's being offered is harder on us than the actual problem. And I think there comes a time when we have to stand up and say, I'm going to place my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord. He will not forsake me. I'm not going to throw caution to the wind. I will do those things that have been asked of me in social distancing and possibly putting on masks. It's been asked of us to do that. We're going to comply with that. But my trust is not in what I'm doing to protect myself. My trust is in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I will call upon Him, and I will know in my heart He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. Now, this is what it means to be the good shepherd. This is what it means that Jesus is our good shepherd. He watches over His sheep. He leads us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we thank you and praise you that you've not left us here alone. Lord, we know that we face a great enemy. We know that there are those that would seek to destroy and to harm. But Lord, we pray and ask that you would save us from these things, that you would walk with us through this valley of the shadow of death, and that you would help us to come out on the other side as victorious believers in you. And we thank you and praise you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Shepherd. Amen.
And our hymn of response this morning is number 177. Please stand. We'll sing the first three verses here and then the fourth verse for the benediction response. Let's sing these first three verses, number 177, In Christ Alone.
Bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.